We start today's program with the U.S. Supreme Court dealing another blow to legal limits on campaign contributions. In a 5-4 ruling today, Justice Anthony Kennedy joined with the court's conservatives to strike down the aggregate limits on campaign contributions. In English, that's the cap on how much total money you can donate to candidates and committees during a 2-year campaign cycle. While caps on individual donation amounts are still in place, the move will allow donors to give overall to more candidates and causes. Sam Wyszynski, Executive Director of the Arizona Advocacy Network, joins me now. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Sam, I think your reaction is probably fairly predictable, but let us know what it is.
Well, we're really concerned that this furthers a warped concept that money equals free speech. The five justices continue to undermine American democracy, which really was established for the many, not the money.
And you think, is this a consistent pattern that we're seeing? How nervous are you as we go forward, and what could turn the tide the other way?
Well, it is a consistent pattern with this group of justices first defining corporations as people and money as free speech. We saw how they ruled against Arizona voters who passed an anti-corruption and civic engagement law, popularly known as Clean Elections in Arizona, undermining that anti-corruption law that was passed in 1998. We've seen how they've undermined voting rights, and we need to really look at this money and politics issue along with voting rights and how that's going to impact negatively America's democracy.
How negatively do you think it'll affect America's democracy in November? We're just a few months away from another big election.
Well, in Arizona, Republican lawmakers passed against voters' wishes a bill last year that already swept away these aggregate limits. So we've already seen, for example, even with the SRP board election that's coming up, an increase in the size of contributions that individuals and corporations, quite frankly, are making to candidates. In the past, you saw an election like the SRP board election very low on as far as the money being spent. It's having a dramatic impact, and it's not just going to be on congressional races or legislative and statewide races. This is going to impact school board elections, the 12 rural counties that elect judges. It's going to have a significant impact on America's democracy and how policy is made across the country and in Arizona.
Sam, do you see this favoring clearly one party over another, or is it going to be both huge parties taking advantage?
Actually, it favors millionaires and billionaires over working voters. And again, this truly is a concern where we've seen this ramped-up battle of wealthy individuals and corporations versus working voters, and who's going to control who's being elected and who actually is being represented in our elected bodies.
Sam, finally, does this have to start at the grassroots level then for folks who vote on a regular basis, maybe those folks who don't even vote, having to get seriously involved and making their voices heard more?
Yeah, Arizona Advocacy Network and a lot of our partners through the Arizona Wins and One Arizona coalitions are out doing a lot of education to voters. And voters here in Arizona particularly have caught on to the fact that money is playing a bigger role in our elections than their vote, and they're upset about it, and they're ready to take measures in their own hands through a citizens' initiative process in the future to regain control of policymaking here in the state.
Sam Wyszynski is Executive Director of the Arizona Advocacy Network. Sam, thanks for the time today.
Thank you for reporting on this important issue, Steve.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. And now we're joined by political consultant Sean Noble from Washington, D.C. He used to work for Arizona Congressman John Shadegg and then became more well-known after ProPublica reported on his efforts on behalf of the Koch brothers. Recently, Mr. Noble has started a new organization called American Encore. Sean, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sean, we'll talk
about... Sorry, I couldn't be there in studio. I had to hop on a plane to come back here yesterday, so I apologize for that.
Back on Capitol Hill. All right, Sean, before we talk about American Encore, obviously a huge Supreme Court ruling, probably not far from where you're sitting right now. What's your reaction to the 5-4 decision today?
Well, I completely agree with Justice Roberts in the decision, talking about there's no more important component of free speech than political speech. That's the most important component of the First Amendment, because it's the component the Founding Fathers ultimately understood was critical to the continuation of individual individuals having the ability to voice their opinion, because what they wanted to do when they set up, in the ratification of the First Amendment, was to say that government should not be able to do things that stifle people voicing their disagreement with government. And so that is what political speech is. It's talking about, you know, engaging in efforts to make sure that elected officials and candidates understand where people are coming from.
Sean Sambrzynski.
So I think it was a great decision.
Well, as Sam Brzezinski just mentioned, he's concerned about this idea of millionaires and billionaires getting even more power and influence. Why shouldn't we be worried about that?
Well, it's interesting that, millionaires and billionaires don't have any more influence than the typical voter when it comes to the voting. I mean, everyone has a vote, right? Voters have the ability to cut through the clutter and understand what the messaging is. The disagreement I'd have with Sam is that he would say, we'd want to take the influence of millionaires and billionaires out of it because we think that they're over-influencing elections when they're really not, because what they're doing is that they're contributing to political speech, and the important component of political speech is what is the message, what's being said, and it is typical, unfortunately, for many of my liberal colleagues to say, hey, we need to know who's behind the speech. We need to know who's funding the speech, because that's important. The only reason that they want to do that is because they want to change the subject, in my mind. Conservatives, I believe, have a stronger argument about the vision of America and what needs to happen in this great nation. And so the way that liberals can try to overcome that is try to change the subject on who's doing the speaking, not what the actual substance of the argument is.
But Sam, what about the argument that millionaires and billionaires might be directly impacted and perhaps benefit more than the average person? You're right, there is one vote for each person. But, for example, a lot of people who don't have $10 million to spend won't have that same influence on potentially thousands of other voters.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The challenge is that, legislators who pass public policy. I mean, it is. I would be very interested to hear the argument of all the conservative wealthy individuals who engaged in the political speech in 2012. Certainly, that did not pay dividends when Obama got reelected. So, this isn't just because you spend a lot of money, you're gonna benefit from it. I mean, Harry Reid has been on the Senate floor saying the only reason that people do this is so they can get even more rich. Well, that's not true. I think the thing that drives individuals, and this is true, Sam, a lot of folks like Sam would say, well, we worry about corporations. The funny thing is that corporations really don't play in this kind of space as much as people might think. This is really individuals more than anyone. And these are individuals who care about the country. They care about, they have been blessed with success. They want to provide that for their kids and grandkids. They want to retain what they think is a wonderful free enterprise system. And does that help them? Maybe, maybe not. But what it does is it secures a future for their children and grandchildren.
True, Sean, but I think just one more quick thing about this, and going back to what Sam said, I think there are progressives, obviously, in this country who've done extremely well, too. So, and they want a certain influence in one direction as well. So, again, I guess I come back to not conservative versus liberal, but perhaps, and I don't want to get accused of doing class warfare here, but this idea of those who have benefited a little more and those who aren't quite there yet or are striving for it but have not reached that high level of financial acumen.
Well, and I think that what you'll see is that what's interesting about the argument is that the folks like Tom Steyer on the left and folks who like Sheldon Adelson on the right, they fund organizations and like Sam's and other organizations like the other organizations that I run, which are really mobilizing individuals who are, in fact, those normal people. And so it really is not wealthy individuals trying to increase their influence. It's wealthy individuals using their contributions to try to engage people of like mind. And most of the people who become activists in the political scene, whether it's on the right or the left, are not wealthy. They are hardworking people who have a commitment to their belief system. And so organizations like mine and organizations like Sam respectively try to mobilize people on either side of the spectrum to engage in this process.
Sean, a couple more questions before you go. One is why did you get into politics? Was it to serve the public or was it to benefit yourself ultimately? Because I would think,
well,
that's...
Politics is not a place to benefit yourself,
okay,
in my mind. It all stems back to, as a kid, my parents were very engaged in teaching me about the importance of what we had in this great land, that America was, in fact, exceptional. It was a place that was special. And I was truly a Reagan baby in the sense that I grew up in Sholo, Arizona. My mom sat me down. I was 10 years old in 1980, and she said, call these people and tell them to vote for Ronald Reagan. And it was all the Republicans in Navajo County. It took me like 20 minutes because there aren't very many Republicans at that time. I called Democrats, and I got a sense of what it was to talk about politics as a young kid, and I just got the bug. And really, it's been driven by my philosophy that I want to protect what the Founding Fathers were able to put together and protect the God-given rights that we were given, because I think this really is a great nation, and I want to do everything I can to continue to make it great.
And, Sean, where does American Encore fit into that?
So American Encore's mission is to do exactly that, to try to encourage people to recognize that America is great again. This is something that stems from when I was working for Congressman John Shattuck as his chief of staff. I would go and talk to high school students at AP government classes. First time I went, I asked the question, who here believes that the United States is the greatest nation on earth? And less than half the hands went up. And that shocked me as a kid who, you know, grew up, you know, watching the USA beat the Soviets in hockey in 1980, watching Reagan get elected, being, you know, completely steeped in the patriotism and the greatness of America. I was absolutely flabbergasted. And that same thing repeated itself every time I went and spoke at a high school. And I realized that there's something missing. Reagan in 1989 at his farewell address from the Oval Office said, we've had this resurgence of patriotism and pride in our country, but we need to institutionalize it. We've lost that. And here 11 years later in 2000, when I asked this question for the first time, I saw what he meant. And so the purpose is to help people understand this is a great nation. It needs to be a shining city on a hill to the rest of the world. It needs to be able to demonstrate that freedom does matter.
Sean, finally, very quickly, how do we quantify patriotism? Because I think a lot of people listening right now would say, well, we can still think America's great, but it should be greater. Is that not being patriotic?
Well, I absolutely believe America should be greater. I mean, that's the very essence of what we're trying to do is, but to understand that America is unique. I mean, I think that sometimes people take pride in saying, well, I don't think that America is the greatest because I'm not going to be, you know, judgmental, or I'm not going to be elitist about that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about understanding that we provide a system of government that is better than any system in the world. It was something that we need to protect, that we need to go back to the founding principles of what the freedoms really are there for. We were given these freedoms by God. They're to be protected by the government and held by the people, and that's something that's different than most of the rest of the world, and we need to embrace that and understand that that's what makes this a great country. That's what makes our economy thrive, you know, our free enterprise system, and it's ultimately what's going to raise everyone's standard of living and help everyone become a success.
Political consultant Sean Noble joining us from Washington, D.C. His new organization is called American Encore. Sean, thanks.
Thank you for having me.